Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. The topic of this episode is the kindness of the Prophet.
وصلي على الهادي حبيبي جد الحسن رسولي معدن الجود إمام الحرام نبينا خير من يمشي على قدمي يا عاشق صلوا على سيد الكون سيد الكون صلى الله عليه وآله يا نبي
Today, Friday, 29th of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 15th of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. For today, we'll listen to Chapter Ahzab, verse 40 from the Holy Quran and the important point of it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما.
Muhammad is not the father of any one of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and last of the prophets, and ever is Allah of all things knowing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy
Quran.
This holy verse is the only verse which consists of both the name of Holy Prophet and has mentioned his messengership in the form of two titles, Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, the Seal of the Prophets. Moreover, the holy verse also hints to this fact that the Prophet's passion is above the passion of a father to his child, because his passion is the messenger's passion to the Ummah, especially the Holy Messenger, who knows there will come no messenger after him, and he must foresee whatever is necessary for the Ummah until the hereafter carefully and with utmost sympathy.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.
This is today's special under the title of the kindness of the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad was the embodiment of mercy. He showed compassion to all those around him, family, orphans, friends, strangers, and even enemies. He also treated the environment and animals with respect and mercy. He taught his followers that because animals were part of Allah's creation, they should be treated with dignity and due care. The tradition of Prophet Muhammad reminds us that humankind was put on this earth to be the custodian of Allah's creation. Treating animals with kindness and mercy is just one of the responsibilities embedded in that custodianship. Prophet Muhammad's words and behavior make it clear that causing creatures pain and suffering is not only completely unacceptable, but we will also be answerable to Allah for such actions. If someone kills a sparrow for sport, the sparrow will cry out on the day of judgment, "O Lord, that person killed me in vain. He did not kill me for any useful purpose."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the Prophet of Mercy, Prophet of Peace, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The issue of treating friends well was also extended to include relations. He emphasized on this matter because he deeply held the view that only kindness prolongs life, and a person is deprived of provisions for the faults he commits. So let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the real, to help us to be the real follower of this Prophet of Mercy, to learn from the merciful acts of our Holy Prophet in our daily lives and implement it in our daily lives. May Allah give us the tawfiq to imitate whatever he has done with his people around him in our lives. If such a manner becomes prevalent in the society, there would be no problem among the people's relation in this world and the relation of people towards others and towards their towards the nature, towards other creatures, and they could naturally understand the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his own creatures as well. Till our next session, I live in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special about Prophet Muhammad's emphasis on treating children equally. Sadly, a common problem amongst parents is to favor one child over the other. The Prophet commanded fairness in the treatment of one's children, always praising one child, constantly comparing children, preferring sons to daughters, or showering one with gifts at another's expense are all prevalent issues we face with parenting. This should be avoided at all costs, and it is dangerous to a child who may develop low self-esteem and, in turn, an inferiority complex. Indeed, we have seen how Prophet Muhammad was a role model in caring for children. He has taught us how to treat them well and how to express our love and joy for the gift of having them in our lives. It is now our obligation to learn how best to treat our children and to incorporate these teachings into our own daily life.
يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
One of the lessons from the Holy Prophet is not having anger in your heart. We learn more about it. The Prophet states, when one of you becomes angry while standing, he should sit down. If the anger leaves him, well and good. Otherwise, he should lie down. The Holy Prophet remains the pinnacle of the best of human traits and qualities, and of those traits was his control over his temper. Removing anger from oneself is one of the most important aspects of being a practicing Muslim. By learning how to deal with any problem through Islamic values, one can help remove unhealthy anger and the consequences that stem from angry reactions.
Now we get to Ghazwat Tabuk. This is the final station. First of all, in the Battle of Tabuk, Rasulullah did something extremely unusual, never done before. He kept Imam Ali in the city of Medina with the women and children and the elderly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is something that, first of all, Rasulullah wanted to take the vengeance of Ja'far, and also because the Romans had threatened to invade Medina. So Rasulullah took his biggest army yet of 30,000 men, and he marched towards the Levant, towards Sham. There when he arrived, the Romans had forfeited. There was no battlefield. There was no bloodshed. Now you know why he didn't take Imam Ali? and he's returning to Medina. Now, Rasulullah is returning with 30,000 of his troops. This is the genius of Rasulullah. He announces to the Muslims that you all take the normal route, I will take another route. This route is called the route of Aqaba. Let me read to you from Musnad, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Nobody should take that route besides Rasulullah. Only Rasulullah is going through that route. Look at his genius. Ammar is the one that holds the she-camel. And Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, another companion, is walking next to the she-camel. Rasulullah is the third. That's it. He's outnumbered. If you want to kill Muhammad, this is the time. إِذْ أَقْبَلَ رَحْطٌ مُثَلَّمُونَ عَلَى الرَّوَاحِلِ. They were sitting on their horses, but their face was concealed. غَشَوْ عَمَّارِ. They attacked Ammar, وَهُوَ يَسُوقُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And he was holding on to the she-camel of Rasulullah. وَأَقْبَلَ عَمَّارِ يَضْرِبُ وُجُوحَ الرَّوَاحِلِ. They got so close that Ammar with a whip and a sword started hitting the faces of their horses. فقال رسول الله لحذيفة. رسول الله told his other companion حذيفة. قد. Slow down يا حذيفة. حتى هبط رسول الله. رسول الله descended the she camel. فلما هبط رسول الله نزل ورجع عمار فقال. عمار who was fighting those guys came back. يا عمار هل عرفت القوم؟ يا عمار do you know those people? Rasulullah and his genius asks Ammar this question. Ya Ammar, hal arafta al-qawm? Qala araftu ammat al-rawahil wal-qawmu muthallamun. I knew their horses, but their faces were covered. Allahu Akbar. And when he returned back, what does he tell Amir al-Mu'mineen? He returns back to Amir al-Mu'mineen and he says to him, Ya Ali, I left you in Medina as my successor. Why? يا علي أنت مني بمنزلة هارون من موسى إلا أنه لا نبي بعدي. There is no prophet after me.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we'll meet you soon in another episode. Till then, we'll leave you in Allah's blessings. And fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta nabiyul amin, wa sayyidul mursaleen, rahmatan lil alameen, jitta bil haqqil yaqeen. النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him. The worst earner of livelihood is that who deprives others of improving their livelihoods through his earnings. Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about what is necessary for every country, what is necessary for every land, or to put it in other words, what the people, the populace, the population of every country, every nation, every land cannot do without, and which they must have. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "The people of every land cannot be without three types of people. La yastaghni ahlu kulli baladin an salasa." There are three types of people which every land must have and which they cannot do without. To whom they rush for their affairs of the life, of their life of this world and their hereafter. Meaning, some of these people are necessary for worldly matters and some of them for otherworldly matters, and perhaps some of them for both. Let's see who these people are. And if they lack them, they become savages. If they lack these people, then, you know, civilization will, you know, deteriorate, and basically civilization will not, people will no longer be civilized, and they will degenerate to the level of savages and animals. What are these three groups of people, or these three classes of people, or these three types of people? The first is this: a knowledgeable and pious scholar. So the first one is a person. First of all, a scholar, the actual wording of the hadith is a faqih, or a jurisprudent. But it could be also translated in literally as a scholar, in a general sense, of someone having knowledge of religion. And the Imam mentions two necessary characteristics of this person. First of all, he should really be knowledgeable, right? And secondly, he should be pious. So his knowledge should be real knowledge. It shouldn't be like, you know, this person went and he got a degree and he might not know anything, but he just passed a couple of tests and got a degree. No, he should have real in-depth knowledge of religion. And secondly, he should be pious. He should be truly God-fearing and God-wary and pious and fear God. A little deliberation of these characteristics will indicate why each one of them is necessary. The second one is a good and obeyed ruler. There should be a ruler, a one ruler over the land, and this ruler should have two characteristics. First of all, he should be good. The actual wording of the hadith is khair. He should be a good person. And secondly, he should be obeyed. He should be, the wording of the hadith in Arabic is muta, meaning the people should listen to him. He should be accepted by the people. And the people should recognize him as their ruler. Otherwise, you know, if they don't recognize him and they don't obey him, then it's not going to be of any benefit. Even if he's good and his issues and his orders are and his edicts are just, but if the people don't follow them, then obviously it's not going to be of any benefit. And finally, Imam said, and a trustworthy and experienced physician. So this physician, this doctor, this expert in the science of medicine, he should be experienced. He should have knowledge of his trade, and also he should be trustworthy, and he should be honest. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at that which the people of every land cannot be without, in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we have Hussein Akbari, Hussein Ruhullah, and Hassan Nasrullah with us in this session. I really, really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, Hussein Ruhullah, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam, sir, how are you?
Fine, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much. And Hussein Akbari, how are you?
Fine.
Ahsan. MashaAllah. Okay. Everybody is okay here. We hope that you, dear listeners, are all right. We'll get started with Ayah 166 of Surah An-Nisa on page
104.
Yes. 104. Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 166. Six and Ayah 167, these two verses of Surah An-Nisa. Let's everybody listen to the recitation, then inshallah we'll continue our class.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Lakinillahu yashhadu bima anzala ilayka anzalahu bi'ilmihi wal malaikatu yashhadun. Wa kafa billahi shahida. الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله قد ضلوا ضلالا بعيدا.
That was nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. Remember, brothers and sisters, that inshallah shortly we'll explain these two verses. We'll say something about these two verses, then inshallah we'll move on to the tajweed rules and we'll practice the recitation. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So, Allah Almighty says in Ayah 166 and Ayah 167 in the Book of Guidance, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, let me read, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك أنزله بعلمه والملائكة يشهدون وكفى بالله شهيدا. What does Allah Almighty say? Allah Almighty says to the Prophet of Islam, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that لكن الله يشهد, but Allah bears witness, بِمَا أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكَ, to what he has sent down to you. أَنزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ, he sent it down with his knowledge. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَشْهَدُونَ, and the angels, huh, bear witness too. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, and Allah quite suffices as a witness. In the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, indeed those who are faithless, non-believers, وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and bar others or stop others from the way of Allah, okay, قَدْ ضَلُّوا ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا, have certainly strayed into far error. They've wronged themselves. Okay? So now, Hussein, Hassan, and again Hussein. Two Hussein we have and one Hassan. So, Allah Almighty says very, very important points here. The non-believers, they were trying to, for example, stop people, okay, from following the Prophet. Yeah? They were doing a lot of things to stop the Prophet. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, they were plotting against the Prophet. There were like certain things they were doing, okay, to stop people from following the Prophet. And also they were trying to prove like Prophet is not the true Prophet.
Yes.
Yeah, they were doing this. While they did know that he is the Prophet, he's the right Prophet, yes? He's the promised Prophet.
Yes.
And the Quran is the right, the exact book of guidance. They knew this, but they were trying to stop the Prophet. Okay? Allah Almighty says, no problem, Prophet. If they don't be witness that you are the Prophet, if they don't affirm it, that you are the Prophet, I affirm it. Okay? Allah says, لَكِنِ اللَّهُ يَشْهَدْ, Allah Almighty bears witness that you are the Prophet of Allah and the Book of Guidance is sent down to you and you are sent to guide the people. Got it? Allah Almighty suffices you. And also, beside Allah, all the angels bear witness. As a preacher of religion, okay? As a preacher of religion, we really must be, or as a normal Muslim, no problem. We really have to think like Allah is enough for us. Because it's Him that we are going to be judged by, not people. He is going to reward us, not people. He is going to give us paradise, not people. Huh? Yes, he has given us life. He has created us life, yeah? Created us, yes?
Say yes.
So, it's enough for us. It should be enough for us. Huh? وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. In the other, in Surah Talaq, we have this one. Whoever relies, trusts God, he is enough for him. Exactly, Allah Almighty says this, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, and Allah is enough, Allah suffices. Okay?
قرآني نبض حياتي, قرآني طهر ذاتي, قرآني عصمة أمري, قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض
حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
That's enough. No questions?
No.
No.
Okay. So let's move on to the recitation and the tajweed parts. If you are ready, Hassan, Hussein, Hassan. Hassan, Hussein, Hassan? No. Hassan, Hussein, Hussein. Yes? Or yes. Let's say Hussein, Hassan, Hussein. If you are ready and brothers are ready, inshallah, the listeners, let's recite a salawat and move on to the second part of our class.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa
ajil. I want Hussein Akbari, inshallah, to recite ayah 166 for us. Then, inshallah, the next ayah, the next Hussein or Hassan will read, okay? Okay, Hussein?
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك أنزله بعلمه والملائكة يشهدون
ما شاء الله
وكفى بالله شهيدا.
Super, well done. Thank you. Hussein or Hassan, any of you, could you read it?
Yes.
All right, the next ayah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله قد ضلوا ضلالا بعيدا.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Nice one. That was great, both of you. So let's practice how we can read it perfectly and well, okay? With tajweed rules. لكن الله. I heard Hussein pronounced it لكن الله. No problem. He might do it. He might have done it intentionally to let us know and mention a special rule here. So the word Allah, it's differently pronounced. Okay, it has two cases. If the word Allah has a kasra right before it, okay, yes, it means the last letter in the word before the word Allah. If it carries a kasra, the word Allah is pronounced with an a sound. Lakinillah. Lakinil la, not lakinil la. Okay? But if it carries the last letter, if it carries a fatha or a dhamma, you pronounce the word Allah with an a sound. For example, wallahu. The waw carries a fatha. Wallahu. Alright? But this one, the last letter in the word lakin, ends with a sukun. Actually, it ends with a sukun, but since we have the meeting of two sakin letters, yes, Hussein? Huh?
Yes.
Here we put a kasra down there and read it. So it carries a kasra then. So the word before Allah ends with a kasra. Here you have to pronounce it with an a sound. Lakinillahu. Lakinillahu. Not lakinillahu. Okay?
Okay.
Next one. يَشْهَدُ بِمَا. You can extend the sound or skip the sound. بِمَا or بِمَا. Shortly or long, okay? Or prolong it. أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكَ. أَنزَلَ أَنزَلَ. You hide the sound of noon, yes? Yeah? You hide the sound of noon. أَنزَلَ. Yes. The same as Hussein pronounced it. أنزل إليك. When you stop here, لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك. إليك. مدلين. When you stop, you extend the sound. إليك. Okay, not إليك.
Okay.
إليك. Then أنزله بعلمه. Again. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ. This malaika, we've mentioned it many times. You prolong the sound. The mad is wajib. Yes? Hassan?
Yes.
Yes.
What does Sila, tell us, what does Jim tell us? Hassan, you tell us.
Sila tells us that it's better to continue here.
Better to continue.
Yes.
Right. And Jim?
And Jim tells us it's better to stop.
Stop.
It's optional to continue
or to continue or stop. Okay. Wakafa billahi, again the word billah, look, you read it with an asam. Shahidan changes to shahida.
Da
or da?
Da.
Da, because it's a light letter. Hussein, shahidan changes to shahida.
Da.
Da, superb. Next ayah, innal ladhina, the noon has tashdid, extend the sound, innal ladhina, and produce a nasal sound. كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ The same as أَنزَلَهُ You hide the sound. عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Look. قَدْ ضَلُّوا ضَلَالًا The last point here. قَدْ ضَلُّوا ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا It changes to ضَلَا How do you say this? ضَلَا
لَمْ
لَمْ بَعِيدًا Super. Ready to repeat after me?
Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك
لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك
أنزله بعلمه والملائكة يشهدون
أنزله بعلمه والملائكة يشهدون
وكفى بالله شهيدا
وكفى بالله شهيدا
إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله قد ضلوا ضلالا بعيدا
إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله قد ضلوا ضلالا بعيدا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنت ما شاء الله الله bless you brothers and sisters thank you so much for being with us Up to this time, Allah bless you. May Allah accept from all of us. Stay with Arab English Radio. That's it from us for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key,
on RIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a very interesting question. And that question is this. As you know, the hereafter is a concept which is very important in Islam. In fact, some might say that from one point of view, it is one of the most important and significant questions and issues in the Islamic religion. And the reason for that is that Islam is a religion that, you know, as you know, it appeared and it manifested in Arabia. And, you know, in the Arabian Peninsula, the pagans who were there, they believed in God. They believed in a single deity, who they also called Allah, as you know. One of the significant points of contention between the Muslims and these pagans was the fact that they didn't believe in the hereafter. So they said that once a human being dies, that's it. His existence terminates and is finished. And, you know, there is no hereafter in which God will hold this person accountable for his deeds, right? The person just, you know, completely, he vanishes and he finishes and that's it. You know, this has been mentioned and reflected in one verse of the Holy Quran. Quoting the Arabs, or one of the Arabs, God says, you know, relating from him, that this person says, there is nothing but the life of this world. We die and we live, and nothing kills us or destroys us but time. So this concept of the hereafter was a very significant concept within Islam. And one of the aspects of this concept is the fact that the hereafter is the place where a person will be questioned by God about his actions, about what he did, and also about the way he used the bounties that he had been given by God Almighty. Right? So a lot of times people ask, what are the first things that we will be asked about in the hereafter? What are those? What is the first thing, or what is the first thing that we'll be questioned about? We want to talk about this today, and fortunately, we can take inspiration from the hadith regarding this topic. In one blessed prophetic hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been narrated as having said the following: "The first thing that a man will be asked about is our love, the people of the household, the Ahlul Bayt." So according to this hadith, the first thing that a person will be asked about in the hereafter is whether he loved the Ahlul Bayt, whether he loved the Ahlul Bayt, and also, whether he acted towards them as a person who loves them. Like, for example, if he respected them, he respected their commands, he observed their commands and their prohibitions, and he followed them and emulated them or not. Which in essence is a comprehensive and kind of alludes to the fact to everything comes in this, because if we emulate them and if we love them, then we emulate them, and then we act upon their commands, their prohibitions, right? And then everything comes in there, you know, like if they prayed, we pray. If they, you know, the way they acted, we act, right? So everything will be basically asked. This comprehends everything. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the first thing that a human being and a person will be asked about in the hereafter in the light of the prophetic hadith. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
The last savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to another session of The Last Savior. In this program, we discuss about Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and we try to get the most updated information about Imam of our time from our experts. And today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we have been talking about the signs of reappearance. And as one of the signs of reappearance, we went in detail. It was about the heavenly call. In this heavenly call, we talked a lot, and now we know that heavenly call is one of the certain signs of reappearance. But there's some of the sources say that there may be more heavenly calls which are related to the Imam of our time, but not necessarily these signs of reappearance, especially the certain signs.
In the beginning of this series of discussions, we said that based on the narrations, we can call five signs as the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
And the importance of these five signs is that there is not going to be any bada, any change regarding the occurrence of these five signs. So this is why knowing about these five signs is important.
Right.
They would definitely happen before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And one of them is the heavenly call that we talked in detail about the caller, that is Jibreel, about the miraculous aspects, and also about the content and the ways to distinguish between that call and the satanic call. Now, having said that, according to some narrations, there might be other calls as well, which are also related to the time after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But now these calls cannot be considered among the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. There are a couple of points and a couple of calls which are mentioned in the narrations based on some narrations. One of them is a call by Jibreel after he pays allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
We said that the heavenly call would happen in the month of Ramadan based on the Shia narrations on the 23rd, according to many narrations. Now, this second call by Jibreel, according to these narrations, is going to happen on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. It seems that this is after the heavenly call. We have some narrations in this regard. For example, in one narration we read, the first one who will pay allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the Archangel Jibreel. And according to this narration, he will come to Imam in the form of fi surat al-tayrin abjad, a white bird. Fayubayu, then he will pay allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
Then, thumma yunadi bisawtin taliq tasma'ahu al-khala'iq. Then he will call out in a very clear way that all the people will hear it. He will recite verse 1 of chapter An-Nahl, chapter 16. Allah's edict is coming, so do not seek to hasten it. This is mentioned in various books, for example, Kamal al-Din by Sheikh Saduq, volume 2, page 589. Also Tafsir by Ayashi, volume 2, page 255.
4.
Right. Dr. Karimi, let's continue this discussion after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We are with Dr. Karimi and we're talking about the heavenly calls. And Dr. Karimi is helping us to distinguish between the certain sign of preappearance, the heavenly call, and the other calls. Yes, Dr. Karimi.
So we are talking about the second call of Jibreel, which is not the heavenly call as one of the definite signs, but this is mentioned in some narrations as one of the events that is going to be happen after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So this is another call by Jibreel. And according to some narrations, it will happen on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. But the heavenly call is going to happen on the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan, as we mentioned before.
Right.
In the second narration, Imam alayhi salam says, it is as if I'm watching him on the 10th of Muharram, قَائِمًا بَيْنَ الرُّكْنِ وَالْمَقَامِ. That is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is standing between Rukn and Maqam around Kaaba. Jibreel alayhi salam an yadihi al-yumna. The archangel Jibreel is on his right side and he will call out that al-bay'atu lillah. The allegiance is with God. Now hearing this, when the Shia, the followers of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, hear this call of Jibreel, they will come to him according to this narration in a miraculous way, based on the concept that we call it tayul ard,
right,
to move without spending any time. This is mentioned in Al-Irshad by Sheikh Mufid, volume 2, page 379, also Kashf al-Ghumma, volume 2, page 462. In another narration, there is a very clear distinguishing between the heavenly call and this second call by Jibreel. The Imam says, on the night of the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan, the archangel Jibreel, he will call the name of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. وَيَقُومُ فِي يَوْمِ عَاشُورَ. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will begin his uprising on the day of Ashura.
Okay.
فَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ قَائِمًا بَيْنَ الرُّكْنِ وَالْمَقَامِ. On that very day, يُنَادِي جِبْرَئِيلُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ الْبَيْعَةُ لِلَّهِ. So you see, the first one is referring to the heavenly call as one of the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
Then the second call of Jibreel will happen on the 10th of Muharram.
True.
And he will call out الْبَيْعَةُ لِلَّهِ, and then the Shia would come toward Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is mentioned in Ithbatul Huda, volume 3, page 570. And the last narration about this second call by Jibreel is also referring to the same points. The Imam says, it is as if I'm watching Imam Mahdi alayhi salam on a Saturday, which is the day of Ashura. He is standing between Rukn wal Maqam, and Jibreel is in front of him and he calls out Al-Bay'atu Lillah. And then Imam begins his uprising. فَيَمْلَأُهُ عَدْلًا. He will fill the earth with justice. كَمَا مُلْأَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجُورًا. As it was filled with oppression before him.
Right.
Al-Ghiba by Sheikh Tusi, page 453.
Right. Dr. Karim, we will discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We are with Dr. Karimi and we are discussing about the differences between certain heavenly calls, one which is the certain sign of reappearance, and there are also going to be other calls, like one of the calls by Jibreel in the month of Muharram, as Dr. Karimi discussed that, and the heavenly call, which is a certain sign of reappearance, is going to happen in the month of holy month of Ramadan, and that too on the Laylatul Qadr. Well, Dr. Karimi, I want you to continue.
Okay, having said that, we go to another call. So far we have referred to, a second call by Jibreel, which is very different from the heavenly call. It is not one of the definite signs.